Blair. Blair, who's the baby to all your kids. Blair, comes home every summer and makes us all feel like that. Why should the daughter pay for the sins of the father? Okay, now if we even have a hope of this off, you better scatter. Get home. Grab a change of clothes. Grab all the food you can and get over here and have it up.
Happy birthday, Mom. And his mom began to cry. It He said, Mom, don't you like the dress? She said, I love the dress. And then she opened the closet, and it was filled with dresses. And she said, Son, all I want is you. I hear that story, don't you? Because God says to you this morning, I want you. But more often than not, we're too busy. I suspect that in the next 10 minutes or so, a number of us will look at our watches. I mean, we're going, okay, I got to be here. I got to be there this week. I mean, God, that hour of me being here, it's already time to come and rest, to meet you, to hear you. God, that's a lot of time. But notice what happens. In the Bible, just before this story, Dr. Luke tells us how to relate to our neighbors, how we are to view our relationships in chapter 10 with the Lord. We have this story. And then we have a section in chapter 11 that says this is what our relationship with God is supposed to look like. And already in the beginning of this story, we learn how to invite Jesus into our lives by learning how to rest. This is what we read, verse 39. Mary sat at Jesus' feet, listening to what he taught. Have you ever thought what it would be like just to sit and to be with Jesus? I mean, De Jong in his book, Crazy Busy, says week after week, month after month, I think we've lost the idea of simply resting and being with Jesus. Because there is always that project. There is always the floor that needs to be swept, the repair of the house that needs to be made. There is the unsuspecting guest that comes into our home. And we're surprised. We become worried. We become anxious. We become burdened with all that we got to do. And Jesus begins to address that. He says, they're not all bad. But what about priorities? What about first things first? I mean, if you and I are tired of being overwhelmed, tired of not being able to rest, Jesus gives us the answer in our passage. He says this, Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, or Jesus' feet, listening to what he taught. But here you have Mary, who is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And here you have Martha, who very evidently has the gift of hospitality. And in the Middle Eastern culture, hospitality was everything. If somebody came into your house, you did not turn them away. You provided, you made sure that they had more than enough. She was doing what was socially expected, but not what Jesus had wanted. But what do? You hear this. Hi, Mary. Hi, Martha. I'm here for dinner. And I brought 12 guys with me. Right? My disciples came with me. So that's Jesus and his disciples. That's 13. You got Mary and Martha. That's 15. Lazarus was probably there, 16. And there were probably a few other people there. What do? When you get that knock on your door and all of a sudden 15 people are there. We would go downstairs and we'd open the freezer, we'd either fire up the barbecue, or they would have a ton of appetizers from M&M's, and we'd be good to go. But picture this now. Here is Martha going, oh my, what do I do? Now, if they had chickens on their property, she would have had to go into the field and grab a chicken. She would have had to kill it. She would have had to pluck it. She would have had to do whatever you do to make a chicken ready. Wash it, put it in the oven. Then she would have to either go down and get some water, or if she was lucky enough to have a cow, go in and milk the cow for something to drink. And then she would have to go and get some vegetables, pick them, wash them, cook them, set the table, and then get ready for dinner. I mean, what is Martha supposed to do? She's just being a good host. Sometimes we find ourselves in that story, don't we? How often have you seen it? You've invited come stir the gravy so it doesn't burn, and you miss out on the whole opportunity of why you invited those guests into your house. And then you gotta set the table. You're gonna sweep the floor just one more time. And we miss out on the opportunity of having that company in our lives. But it's not only physically, it's spiritually, isn't it? I mean, how often have I not heard or someone said the first thing they get up in the morning is they go to their phone. They check their email of what's gonna happen at work. They send out a few texts or projects that need to be done or things that need to be responded to that came in over the night. And their feet haven't even hit the floor yet. And they forgot what is most important. They forgot that moment to step aside and to meet with Jesus. To inhale his goodness and his peace. To allow him to shape how the day it is going to play out. And this morning, I want us to hear this. As we think about the idea of hospitality, that God says, I want to meet with you. I want to help shape your life. Rick Warren is the pastor of a large church, and it was his turn to plan the family vacation. And if you know pastors at all, we're used to planning and planning and planning. Everything is detailed. Our time is accounted for. And he decided, you know what? Forget it. We're going on vacation, and we are going to play it by ear. Day one, day two, day three, day four, day five. They never got a room at a hotel because Rick was playing by ear. And so they more often than not slept in the car. And let's just say after day five, Mama wasn't happy, and neither were the kids. Rick in that moment understood something about the idea of there being no room in the inn. So on the sixth morning, he called the town ahead to make sure that not only was there a hotel, but there was a restaurant booked as well. But how often do we miss what God wants to do? Because 1,000 years before his birth, roughly, there was a proclamation that he was going to come to the world. And yet when he came to the innkeeper, there wasn't any room. I mean, Martha, he was friends with Jesus, and when Jesus came, she was just too busy to sit down and meet with Jesus. And we get busy, don't we? Doing all the things that we need to do. Some are good and noble and wonderful. But Jesus says to us, you're missing out on what's really important. As we look at learning to rest and invite Jesus into our lives, what if this week the only goal you had was to wake up 15 minutes early and to spend 15 minutes with God? I suspect we might even go to bed early. We might not watch the show that we weren't intending to watch anyways. We might not eat that snack that knows that it keeps us awake. We may not spend that 15 minutes on the internet just killing time. We may not be worried that there's a few specks of dirt on our floor. But because this was so important, we were going to go and rest so that we could meet with God. I can tell you this for sure, is if you learn to rest and make that time for God, it will change how we view our busyness. It will change how we view us what's a priority. Now we will learn over time to remember first things first. But that also means inviting God into our home. Here's what Luke says. Martha welcomed Jesus and the disciples into her home. You know, that's the amazing thing, isn't it, about hospitality? Here it is, Jesus. He's looking for friends. He's rejected in Nazareth. He's rejected by his family and friends. The religious leaders already want rid of him. But here is Mary, Martha, and Lazarus welcoming Jesus into their home. And have you ever thought about that? When you invite Jesus into your home, if you were here last week, you remember that in Middle Eastern culture, the home was the very center or the very fabric of life. So what they were saying is, Jesus, So we go over to the kitchen. That's the first place in my home that you walk into. God wants to do the story of our kitchen. What happens in our kitchens? What kind of conversation? What kind of relationships? What do we invite into our kitchens? Then if you were to look at our living room, what kind of viewing habits do I have? As you would come down into my family room, what kind of games do we play? What kind of books do we read? What kind of family interaction begins to happen there? If you were to go in to our bedrooms, what good and godly things happen there? And what things happen in our bedrooms that God would not be honored with? And then if you go down into our garage, what kind of things are stored there? What kind of things are built there? You see, it takes us a little further down the road to inviting others into our story. As you open your home and you welcome God, how does that affect all those different rooms and how we invite people in? What would people see if they came in or experience when they sat around your kitchen table? What would they experience if they were to sit on your patio or to go into your TV room? Because really, it's all about our relationship. It's the priority that we make for people and for God in our lives. Because there you hear it. After church today, 15 people are coming to your house. What are you going to do? You're going to run downstairs and grab all the food from M&M's? Or maybe this week it happens. Do you run to KFC and grab a bucket? Do you run to Swiss Chalet and you go to Pizza Hut because every day there's a $10 special? Do you order Chinese food? Martha didn't have any options. So there she is, trying to be the great hostess that she is. And she missed out on what Jesus really wanted her to do. She was so worried about everything being ready that she missed out on her guest. 2,000 years ago, that same thing happened. When a pregnant teenage girl and her husband to be heard that they were going to have a baby, and so they made their way. And there wasn't any room for them. And their child was born in a stable barn. It wasn't perfect. But can you already picture it? Mary had just given birth to baby Jesus. And the unwanted in society were beginning to come, shepherds. And Mary didn't care. Yet there they came, and I suspect she had to say, "Mine be over. I'm sorry about what the auction just did. I'm sorry that the donkey won't be quiet." But it didn't matter. Because the shepherds came to be with Jesus. They weren't worried about what Martha Stewart was going to do. They were more desiring to just be with Jesus. And as God enters into that story of us, he's not worried what your home looks like. But he wonders about who you and I welcome into our homes. Because Jesus begins to invite all of us into the story. He invites us all to come and rest, to meet him, to be renewed and to be restored. Remember that passage in John 3? It's the most familiar passage in the Bible. It says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not die, but have eternal life." In the book of Acts, we hear these words. "I see very clearly that God doesn't show partiality. In every nation he accepts those who fear him and do what's right." In the book of James, he writes this: "My brothers and believers in our glorious Lord Jesus, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, 'Here's a good seat,' but say to the poor man, 'You stand here,' or 'Sit on the floor by my feet,' have you not discriminated amongst yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts? But if you show favoritism, whose sin are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. And I tell you those two passages because the story of hospitality is a hard one. Because it means for you and I to get rid of some of our prejudices. Maybe we open to our home that people are only like us. Maybe we only open to our home to people who are intellectual like us. Maybe you need to have a master's degree or an undergraduate degree, and that's how you determine who your friends are, by what you have in common that way. Or by gender. Or by age. Or by ability. Or disability. Maybe we only invite people who are in the same political mindset as us. Or the same social economic status. Or people who look like us. Or to people who are the same race as we are. Because Jesus comes into the story of our lives. And he wants to meet with us. And he wants us to invite into our heart, into our homes, into our lives, anyone who would come to the door. Just like Martha would have understood as she welcomed Jesus. But it means three things for us. It means that we begin to look at our heart. Does our heart say, hey, come on in, we're glad you're here. Come for coffee, stay for church. Or does it say, you know what, come back later. Because our heart, say, come back later, is going to have an action. The action is going to be, I'm going to show grace. Or I'm too busy to show grace. And the relationship that will follow out of the action will be, there's no room. I'm just too busy. Or it will be, come on to the table. There's room for one more. I love the story of Martha. And if you're at all like me, sometimes I'm just so busy that I miss out on what God wants to do. I miss out on those opportunities where God wants to shine through. But then there are moments when I get it right. I've been sharing with you for the last little while of how I've been working with my neighbor. Just been trying to reach out and touch them. And here's where I think it comes together. Is when we just step back and are with people, that a relationship gets to be built. About 4 days ago, my neighbor's mom took a turn for the worse. And I've been reaching out to them for a while. And every day, over the last 4 days, I've just been asking, you know what, how's mom doing? How's mom doing? Mom died yesterday. And here's one of those moments that are awesome come in. They said, hey, next Sunday, when you're done church, would you do my mom's funeral? Talk about being able to enter into the story of somebody's life. Simply because I was there, and I got to build a relationship, and we opened the story of our lives. See, the same is there for you and for me. I don't know what it was like for you growing up, but for me, my home was always open. If I wanted to invite 15 of you over at the church today, my parents would say, sure, we'll figure it out. Come on, we'll do it. If there was a youth event and people needed a place to sleep, my parents would say, hey, we've got some couches and some soup bags. Hey, bring them over. Somebody needed a bowl of soup or a meal because they were sick. It was already made before the day was over on Sunday. I had some good teachers. But I still need that time, and maybe you do as well. Just to step back and to inhale the goodness of God. And watch for him to open the opportunities that, and the stories and the people he wants to bring into our life. so we don't miss them. But more importantly, that we don't miss Jesus and what he wants to do. So here's a challenge for us this morning. In the week that's coming, would you take up that challenge and to start your day 15 minutes earlier? And to either sit there in front of God's word or to sit there in prayer and to allow God to speak into your life and my life. Two things. One, how we can learn to stop and to be with Jesus. And the second is, God, who can I invite into my story? So take time every day this week, 15 minutes if you can every morning. Hey, just go to bed 15 minutes earlier and you won't notice the time. And spend time with Jesus. Asking God, what do you want to say so I can spend time with you? And the second thing is this, is, God, who do you want to bring into my story? So we can be that witness to all who want to come into our lives. That's pretty good. God, we thank you. You enter into our story in the midst of it. And God, we thank you that you don't ask our lives to be perfect. You don't ask us to have it all together. You just simply say, hey, just come and meet with you and I'll take care of the rest. And so God, we come here to you this morning in lives that are busy and for most of us, insanely busy. That the thought of just stopping and inhaling your goodness, even in the rest of the service, to not worry about what we have to do today, but to allow you to invade our story is hard. Would you speak into our story the rest of the service? That we may experience you and say, you know what, I met God this morning. Would you also speak into the life of this church? Lord, we want to just pray for Ariel, the board, Lord, as she recovers from a concussion. And then, Lord, re-aggravating that concussion. And Lord, we just pray that she waits for an MRI to find out what's going on. We just pray that there would be no lasting implications of that. Lord, that she would be able to just be healed from that and be fully restored. And Lord, as we think of the DeBoer family, Lord, we just pray that you would be near to them, Lord, as they go through their first Christmas, Lord, without their son. We pray that you would comfort them and you would refresh them and you would strengthen them. That, Lord, in the midst of the Christmas season, Lord, that you would just touch their grief. And that they would experience much grace. Would you continue to be with Gail? Lord, we just pray that, Lord, there would be more and more signs of improvement, more and more signs of her body strengthening. Lord, we just thank you that it was good to see her, Lord, with her eyes open. And, Lord, we just wait for the moment, Lord, where her speech may come forth, Lord, and that she would be able to gain more strength, and Lord, that she would be able to do more things on her own, and that ultimately she would be able to return to us. We just pray that you would speak into her being this morning, that you would refresh her, that you would give her patience when she is experiencing frustration over what things aren't improving. And Lord, we just pray that you would draw near to her. Would you be with Mary Ann, Lord, as she left this past Friday to go to Bolivia? Or we just pray for the short-term mission project. We just pray that she may have arrived safely. We pray that they would be able to hit the ground running. And that, Lord, as they enter into people's stories, Lord, that they would take moments to wait to hear from you, but also just to warmly welcome and embrace anyone that they would experience. We pray the same thing for Phil and Jeanette and Watson. And we pray that their work would bear much fruit. And we think of our story and our weeks. And Lord, may we in fact find time to meet with you this week and see how it changes everything. And then, Lord, as we come back next Sunday, to look forward to seeing who we can bring along with us to come encounter you So God, we give you all of these things. We pray that